Matters.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. And this is the Senate Health Policy Committee, and I would like to call it to order. We are resuming. I guess we were in recess, and we are now resuming the committee that we started at 8 o'clock this morning. We now have the Dash 8s before us. And after talking with Senator Morse and Senator Bates and Cruz, and I think, did someone talk with you too, Senator Morse?
No, I'm out of the loop.
He's out of the loop. Okay. we told Legislative Council what we would like, and so I would like Marisa to come up and walk us through the amendments.
My pleasure. Marisa James from Legislative Council. And so you've got your Dash 8 amendments in front of you here, and I'll walk you through them. First, you've got a new preamble that establishes that the Legislative Assembly finds that certain psychologists should be allowed to prescribe drugs. Then I've basically gotten stuffed the bill with most of the bill as it existed, but it should be easy for you to read this way since the entire thing is here. So Section 1 remains the same. That was just the definitions. Section 2 establishes the Committee on Prescribing Psychologists in the Oregon Medical Board. We kept the same members as in the original bill. Subsection 4A.
Just to clarify.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. I just wanted to make sure that people knew, and you were just going to Section 4A.
Okay, subsection 4A is a little bit new, but it clarifies that the committee is going to make recommendations on a lot of topics related to the qualifications for prescribing psychologists to the Oregon Medical Board, but the Oregon Medical Board will be responsible for eventually adopting those rules. In subsection 4C, or paragraph 4C, we've got the committee making recommendations to the Oregon Medical Board on the formulary, and the Oregon Medical Board will adopt the formulary. That's different from the original bill that appeared in one of the amendments that you considered. The rest of Section 2 remains the same. That's just the boilerplate about the committee. Section 3, we have the requirements that the Oregon Medical Board starts with, basically, to make the requirements for prescribing psychologists. But unlike in the introduced bill, here we've given the Oregon Medical Board a lot more leeway in making rules about the qualifications. So instead of laying out the educational program exactly, we're going to have them have an educational program approved by the board after the board takes into account the recommendations of the committee. And the clinical training program, the same thing. Instead of listing out all those hours that we had in the original bill, the board's going to approve those. I suppose the board could either approve them individually or, you know, the board could adopt rules saying here are the things that we will approve. And that's also with the recommendation of the committee. You'll notice that, where are we here? In subsection 4B, or 4 tells us what the Oregon Medical Board is going to adopt rules on. That's at the bottom of page 4. They're going to adopt the rules about the educational requirements, the clinical training requirements, the continuing education, other standards, and they're going to establish the formulary and the revisions to the formulary. You'll notice that we removed the old Section 4, which was all of those hours of clinical training, so that's completely gone. Section 4 is the application process, which has remained as it was in the original bill. I did confirm, Senator Montes-Anderson, that if an agency is going to issue a license, if they refuse to issue that license, that creates a contested case, and they are required to give that person a hearing. So whether we put that in or not, that's how it will be.
So Senator Bates, you had stated that you felt that
I'm sorry, I'm
possibly
just doing two things at once here.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to work through this.
You had asked, which section is it?
We're in
line
section
27,
four. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On page 5. We had talked about this, that if there was a contested case,
yes.
But even if we didn't keep that in the bill, it still would have to go to a contested hearing no matter what.
Under the Administrative Procedures Act, the issuance of a license, that creates a contested case if an agency refuses to issue a license. And so there's got to be some kind of hearing remedial due process that
so
comes
Oregon
after
State
that.
Law requires this.
Yes. In Section 5 on page 6, that's
Madam
the...
Madam Chair, can we just look at
I'm sorry,
one,
go ahead.
One more piece?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. That's B. I would still like to see C. I suppose it doesn't matter, really. I'm just working this through my head. If one board accepts the committee's recommendation and the other doesn't, then it can still go to a contested case hearing. The likelihood is the board that would reject, well, it could be either board rejecting, but it would still, under Oregon law, requires the applicant has a right to go to a contested case hearing.
Yes, Chairman Sanderson, Senator Bates, because the Oregon Medical Board is the one who's responsible for either issuing or not issuing the license. Based on this whole process that occurs beforehand, the Oregon Medical Board would then refuse to issue the license, which would create a contested case.
And that's for anyone they're dealing with, whether it's a nurse or not, whether it's a physician or a PA or anybody, they have this right to go to a mediation.
That's right. Well, not the mediation.
I'm meaning
the
to a contested case hearing.
Yes, Senator Bates, that's right.
Okay.
In Section 5, this is all the same. This is the disciplinary authority. Section 6 on the bottom of page 6. Is the requirement of collaboration with the healthcare professional who oversees the patient's medical care. The portion about special requirements for children is not included, but later we'll see that there is provision for thinking about that issue at least.
No, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Okay, the collaboration, I'm particularly concerned about the geriatrics, the senior citizens rather than the children, so this... How strong is the collaboration requirement?
It requires...
That's a liability issue if they don't. I mean, if something happens and there's a lack of collaboration, then someone can get sued. Is that right?
Chairman Sanderson, Senator Morissette, that's my next section in subsection 3. In right in the middle of page 7, we have the limitation of liability. That was the Dash 5 amendments that you considered earlier. That states that the collaborating healthcare professional, so the person's primary care physician, is not subject to liability except in the case of gross negligence or wanton misconduct.
So, but the psychologist who prescribes would collaborate with the primary care physician,
mm-hmm. Right?
Who is not responsible. For a mistake.
Okay.
For the actions of the psychologist.
Well, for the okay, but the if the psychologist follows the recommendation of the primary care physician. Okay, I just want to be sure that there is adequate requirements for collaboration.
Chairman Sanderson, Senator Morissette, I think the bill is on the track that you're talking about, in that. There would be required collaboration. Clearly, the primary care physician is also giving care to that person, and so if the primary care physician made a mistake, they would still be liable for that. If basically the psychologist, you know, makes a mistake, calls this primary care physician up and says, here's what I'm doing, and the primary care physician doesn't catch the mistake that the psychologist made, then we have a limitation of liability of the physician.
Okay. Nothing is perfect.
Hopefully.
Right. With the caveat of Clark v. OHSU, that's right.
I would tell you, though, I don't think there's any... I mean, we just have to accept that there's liability here.
Yeah.
And anyone entering into a relationship with a prescribing psychologist or with a PA or with a nurse practitioner or someone you refer to, you are going to be caught up in that liability if something goes wrong. And let's not kid ourselves that we're limiting the liability of the situation. We are not.
That's right, Senator Bates. You're probably going to get sued. Whether you win or not is another question.
They're going to march through that, you know,
Okay, Madam Chair, may I? I guess I'm more concerned with the lack of collaboration. Now, there clearly could be some liability issues if there was no collaboration. I just want to be sure that that's a strong statement, that there must be collaboration.
And if you read on page 6 at the bottom of the page, that this is going to be spelled out in the rules process.
In the rules process, yes. Thank you.
Okay. So Section 7 is the investigation procedures that goes, that the investigations go through the committee and the committee makes recommendations back to the board. This is all the same. Sections 8 and 9 are just the conforming amendments that establish the rulemaking authority for the Oregon Medical Board. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Section 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Section 9 is all brand new. We're on page 10. This creates... Oh, are you there?
No, I'm not. Hang on.
Okay. I'm moving fast. I'm sorry.
I know, and I realize that. Can we go
all
back
day
to
long.
You?
It's hard to slow down now.
Yeah, I don't blame. And we're all on adrenaline here. On page 7, line 1, I think... We've got a phrase here that I know what you're trying to say, but I think you might have missed the ball here just for a second. The phrase healthcare professional. That, you know, that could be a pharmacist. Let me look at this. I mean, it should be a licensed physician, MD/DO, nurse practitioner, PA, that kind of stuff. People who really oversee the patient's medical care. It could be a lot of different people under a health care professional.
Okay. Chairman Sanderson, Senator Bates. I mean, I think the word oversees there probably excludes a pharmacist because a pharmacist isn't overseeing a patient's medical care.
What about a counselor?
I think the intent there was to include, you know, a nurse practitioner or, you know, but if that could be clarified, then we can clarify that, certainly.
I'm running out of time, right? I don't want to have a lot of stuff going on here, but it is significant.
Madam Chair,
A chiropractor might feel like there's chiropractor and naturopaths who do this too, and under this law, under this way, a healthcare professional who oversees the care. I have a lot of patients who consider their naturopath or their chiropractor their primary care physician who oversees their care.
If you want to limit that, then that's a change we can make.
Or we can leave it to rules, which
well,
is...
Well, yeah, Madam Chair, I just say that the board's going to craft rules around this, and I would assume that the specificity will be in the rule process, not in law, so which gives the flexibility that I think the board would probably want.
Well, let's get in the record right here. We're talking about a MD, a DO, a nurse practitioner, a PA. That's the ones I can think of that actually prescribe drugs. Can you think of anybody else?
Naturopathic physicians.
I would exclude them because they're not under the board. They have their own board.
Madam Chair, I would question whether you'd want to include PAs and NPs because they need to operate under the supervision of a primary care or a DO or an MD. You wouldn't want them in that first step relationship.
I agree. MD or DO.
Yeah.
I still think that we're okay with the board coming through that. You're hearing from a couple of members how they feel, but I really would like to leave this in rulemaking. Yeah. And remember that the task force will be dealing with the parts of what is in the rulemaking. And so... And there's just three psychologists and three pharmacists, I mean three physicians that are on that task force.
Four physicians.
Now, the task force only has three licensed physicians and three licensed psychologists.
For the record, I read this to be an MD or DO. I see the board here, so MD or DO for the record.
And that is Senator Bates' opinion, not necessarily the entire committee.
Madam Chair, do you feel a naturopath would fit under this?
I would rather not make that decision. I really would like the board to make that decision. The naturopath probably will come back to us if they're not included to ask for that. But I really want to leave I don't want to get into that fight right here. And I see naturopathic person shaking his head back there. So,
Madam Chair.
Because they're not into the mental health.
Obviously, the medical board is going to drive this ship.
Yes.
Yes.
And I have full faith in their ability to do so.
I agree.
There you go.
Am I getting a nod out there from anybody? Thank you.
All right. So if you want to look at page 10, that's where we have the brand new task force on prescribing psychologists, which consists of three physicians, one of whom must be a psychiatrist appointed by the medical board, and three psychologists, at least one of whom must have a doctorate in clinical psychology appointed by the psychologist board. And this task force is, their mission is to develop recommendations surrounding the practice of prescribing psychologists, including the educational requirements, the curriculum, the clinical training, the standards. And here's where we have the standards for prescribing drugs to special populations, which would include the children and the geriatric populations.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Important word got left out here, and this one is important. Right after special populations, this is our discussion this morning. This is about training and supervision. That was a real thrust of this, is training and supervision. And we wanted this looked at a little more carefully, and we wanted a task force to look at where to decide what that training should be, both in the state and outside the state, and supervision. And I want to be sure the task force understands the role of supervision in this is important, too. Collaboration is a very loose word, and I want them to tighten that up so that we have a clear understanding of the relationship between a prescribing psychologist and whoever he is collaborating or being supervised, he or she is being collaborating with or supervised by, as far as the primary care physician involved. I don't mean necessarily primary care, it could be psychiatrist, but the primary person they have to deal with. And that word, remember we had that word this morning, it's you probably didn't get it, and it's a drafting error, I think, more than anything else. We want the word supervision in here.
Well, I think you could probably direct the task force in, you know.
Absolutely.
The committee's welcome to write a letter to the task force and tell them what they want to consider, because the task force is then going to report back to the legislature in the 2011 session. So I think the committee would be well within its bounds to write that letter and say, here are the things we want to hear back about.
And I know we did talk about that, and the role of supervision is important. Well, it's what Senator Morris said too. What is collaboration? So the role of supervision is.
And he's not even in the loop, so it's amazing.
I know, that's
right.
That was just a lucky guess on my part.
We have the task force set up so that the medical board and the psychologist board share funding the committee or the task force, providing staff support, and then the task force is disbanded. That's repealed in 2012. So that's just a one-time deal. They figure out what their recommendations are and report back in 2011. The operative date for the substantive portions of the bill, the prescribing, when psychologists might be able to start to be licensed, is July 1, 2011. So that leaves time for this task force to come back, give you their recommendations, and if the legislature wants to change anything in the 2011 session, there should be an opportunity to do so. And I think that's about it. If you have other questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure this. We have a declaring an emergency here, and I thought the understanding was that by January 1st of 2011, the board could start considering applications from individuals who might already be qualified without going through a training program. They may have completed a training program elsewhere, and they could start looking at that. But they have to have some time to prepare for that, and this takes effect immediately. They could have on their desk tomorrow an application.
Chair Monis-Anderson, Senator Bates, the emergency clause is necessary to set up the task force. The operative date right above that, in Section 12, makes the parts where the medical board starts issuing licenses operative on July 1st, 2011. So do you see that in Section 12? 3, 4, 5, and 6 are
the... Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at 6 and 13.
Yeah.
Thank you. It gives them enough time to get ready.
Yes, and the medical board can certainly make rules before that time.
I didn't see it. Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you, committee, very much for being so diligent and taking us to task in this short time. We
good
are
job.
In workshop session.
She did a good job.
She did an excellent job.
Yeah, I'd like to
my
make
pleasure.
A special acknowledgement to Marissa Ivett.
Yeah.
This is a Herculean effort in a very short time.
She actually had the first draft to us when we were on the floor of the Senate. So I immediately went to Senator Morse and Senator Bates, went through that, and they said, no, no, no. And so then we went and did another draft, and there were still then from some certain parties, no, no, no. We went, and you did a yeoman's job in getting this product out in such an expedited time.
Well, thank you for making my day so interesting.
We ready? No,
okay,
sure.
Now there's a certain...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got it.
I've got
it. Okay.
The script. Madam Chair, I move we rescind the -5 amendment to Senate Bill 1046.
Senator Cruz moves to rescind the -5 amendments from Senate Bill 1046. And just to remind the committee, that was actually put into the -8. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -8 amendment to Senate Bill 1046.
Senator Cruz moves to adopt the -8 amendments to Senate Bill 1046. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Just a real quick one. This puts a huge burden on the medical board, and I appreciate that. And I'm hoping that they can find the time and effort and can step up to really outline what needs to be done here as far as training and supervision is concerned. This is a really huge step forward for Oregon. Let's not kid ourselves. And we have to be very careful with it. And it's a huge responsibility to the board to do this. A whole new area of medicine is being opened up here. I have confidence in their ability to do that. They've been very strong in laying out what I consider our parameters and supervising physicians and PAs in the state, and I would expect that same kind of scrutiny and effect here. So they're going to probably the first ones coming through, I'm going to expect, are going to have to meet some pretty rigorous standards, and we'll have some rather specific supervision on this as we go forward cautiously. And I don't know what the demand will be like. I don't know if they'll get one applicant or 100 applicants. It'll be interesting to see. We've already heard from a couple of psychologists across the country saying they're interested in moving to Oregon now to take part in this program. That's good, and it's bad. It's good because I don't think there's a need out there for this, and it's bad because I don't want this to become a flooded area with everybody trying to get in. It's like the Three Stooges coming through a door, and we can't deal with it. So a lot of I'm looking at the director here. A lot of responsibility here, a very large responsibility, and I'm sure you can rise to the challenge. Thank you.
And I actually talked to Ms. Haley just prior, and the very words really stuck with me. She said she really wants to make sure this is done correctly and right, and wants to have a very diligent, thoughtful process. So I appreciate those comments from her. Okay, is there any other discussion to adopting the -8 amendments? Is there any objection to the adoption? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1046 without having the fiscal impact and revenue statements before us at this time.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves that we suspend... for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1046 as amended without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statement before us at this time. Since Marisa just gave them to us, unfortunately, legislative fiscal could not get us fiscal in about 2 minutes' time. So I will need at least four people to...
Madam Chair, those statements will catch up to the bill by the time it's up for consideration in Ways and Means.
Thank you. So any other discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Cruz? Senator Bates?
I'm extremely cautious, yes.
Senator Morstead?
Aye.
Senator Morse?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Aye.
Chair Lawrence Anderson?
Aye. Motion carries, and the rules have been suspended.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1046 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 1046 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? I certainly want to thank every member of this committee. I know it was extremely emotional. It was contentious. There was anger. There was elation. There were a lot of adrenaline. And I truly believe that we have a good product. And I thank you all for holding me to task to get the best possible bill out of this committee. Is there any other further discussion?
It filled up the morning.
Okay. The clerk will call the roll.
Again, an extremely cautious yes.
Senator Morse?
Aye.
Senator Morse?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes, and the bill is sent as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means. And we are adjourned.